Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
A grain of rice. Before you tip the scale. Just remember that, then.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on,
Mayo. You've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Hi, everybody. You're very welcome along to, I suppose, a Christmas episode of the Irish Examiners Hurling Podcast.
Look what we did for you.
Yeah, the scenes here are incredible. We haven't a live audience. There's a bit of a night here later on in the Woodlands, and we've a bit of a get-together, a social get-together for a couple of the agents of Come On Racing Club. After the pod, we have a nice bit to talk about, and the lads are coming in.
And a Christmas drink.
Not water either.
We turned the water into wine now, lads.
Yeah. And we were here, I suppose, early on, dear lads, for the day of one of the 2 days of the JP golf, which looked after so well, as always, by the Fitzgeralds. But today they've gone above and beyond the call of duty altogether. So fabulous to be here. How are you all going? Is Santi en route to Killa?
Yeah, he's the three boys now have their letters written. There's too much on him, obviously. There has to be a bit of negotiation with Memmi to try and get a couple of them off the list, but. I think next Saturday is the D-Day. We have to get the letter off, to make sure Senti will come. So they're pushing it. They're pushing out the board a little bit. And time is against us.
Can't make up their minds. Yeah.
It feels like we're in Senti's little house here, don't we? Fairness, in the Woodlands, they're brilliant. Connor and the family have been brilliant to us.
My two lads, Dale, are a bit like yours. They're kind of maybe age-wise would be Senti questionable, but their philosophy is very straightforward. If you don't believe, you won't receive.
There you go. I think my three are in the same boat. Did you? My four, I'll say. That's a massive couple of weeks since we were podding last. We've had the Munster Club Final, the Leinster Club Final. I was at both. And the Ulster Club Final, I couldn't quite make the three of them. a lot of mileage put up. Tony, if you're listening. A lot of great intermediate, the junior finals, teachers since we were last with you. The Galway replay. Yeah. The Toms 5 in a row.
Savage.
My God, yeah. Why didn't I go up there before they asked you? But no goal again, TJ. It's incredible going. We'll come back to that, obviously. But no goal in 6 county finals. Incredible.
Yeah, brilliant achievement to do 5 in a row in a county like Galway, just with the competitiveness of that championship. So a phenomenal achievement, as you said. We'll come back to it in a while.
We will. And so much on between World Cups, and we're allowed to talk about the World Cup soccer.
Oh, that's a bit of a change from the last day, Dela, who were giving out mad to me about round balls and rectangular balls and everything. But
it's the eggs I can't cope with. It's the eggs.
Come here. Do you know the one thing I've noticed now with the World Cup is seeing the best players in the world. And Messi, probably, would you say he's gone past his best? He's, old Barcelona, we'd say 7 or 8 years ago, where he was just weak. Yeah. But he's been brilliant on this stage.
Your men dropped last night, didn't they? And look at the results.
Yeah, but it's the 6th one. Yeah, which.
First name, didn't
he? Yeah, the management have to make
didn't
those
training calls.
Today
at all.
Didn't he?
No.
He's gone on. Well, that's a bit of a.
We have a possibility of a Messi Ronaldo final. It's on the cards.
It's on the cards.
Don't rule it out.
And what about the likes of Richarlison?
Yeah, he's a good player.
Will you be able to put one in for Spurs yet?
Will you get the best out of him? Yeah. Well, I will say two things about the World Cup. Two things. And one question's for you. What I do like, I haven't seen a huge amount of it, but the attacking nature of the teams is definitely good for the viewer. That's number one. And number two, one word answer. I don't want any waffle. Are you still going to go on about VAR? One word answer.
If we could do Secret Santa here today, I was going to see if I get him a little VAR screen or something.
I rest my case.
Even me, without VAR, could recognise some of the decisions that were made were totally wrong.
Bonkers.
But it tells you the
Isn't
pressure.
It incredible?
It tells you the pressure that's on the referee. Mm. That now at this stage, when you're called from the field over to VAR, you more or less have to go with the guy up in the television box. But there's been a couple of incidents in the Premiership where the referee has gone against it and said, no, it is not a penalty. So I just think the pressure that's on referees these days is phenomenal. Disappointed with VAR, I'd have to say.
I tell you one thing. So is it gone? With the hold-ups?
No, it's not gone.
Okay. With the hold-ups of VAR, like, and they all jumping on top of each other, and we can talk about the dancing as well now that a certain Corkman gave out about the other night. And you're celebrating there, and the next thing, oh, it mightn't be a goal, you know. And then, yeah, and then it's a good thing they have the air conditioning inside in the stadiums, isn't it? Because the matches are going on for 2 hours nearly.
That's right. That's right.
It's incredible.
It's nearly like the American football now at this stage.
But with all the giving out, and be the first to say, agree totally that the whole system over there is completely backwards, and the country is backwards, and their laws and their beliefs backwards. I think this November thing could capture the imagination and a break from the humdrum of the domestic leagues and off out to see a competition like this in the winter, whereas in the summer, and we'll be giving out in a while about the final, might be clashing with a major game.
Yeah,
but like in the summer, we have our hurling and football, we're happy, but you know, a competition this time of the year like that,
I think
people are really hooked in.
I think so. Now we're into the real knockout stages and some mouth-watering quarterfinals to look forward. I think everybody, great weekend coming up in terms of real competitive matches. So I think so.
But hasn't the standards risen as well? Like from, we said, the first round qualifier games, and when you're getting down to the quarterfinals, it's knockout championship, and the pace has come up. The commitment has come up, I think, another level. And
you speak like the little All-Ireland.
Yeah.
Are you still in Argentina?
No, I bailed out of Argentina.
What did you bail out?
I went out to Brazil, to be honest with it. Yeah. I'm a bit of a samba man, I must say. But
I stuck with Leo.
Did you?
Yeah.
It's amazing. I see Louis van Gaal is in there and Carlos Queiroz. There's a lot of fellas that were Premiership managers end up managing their country.
There's four teams in the quarterfinal who have never won the World Cup, so.
Well, that's good. Morocco beat Spain.
Yeah.
That's incredible scenario. Guys on 200 grand a week and they can't stick a penalty away. Come on, like
the penalties.
Do you know what I mean? Isn't that incredible? And like
10 years old.
We have hurlers and footballers, and you know they're getting zero for it, and they have the same pressures, but they are sticking them away. So aren't
what's,
they?
What's the name of the Spanish manager legend from Barcelona? You come up with it quick.
Isn't Xavi? Is it?
No.
Enrique.
Is it?
Well, is Enrique? Yeah.
He's saying he told him like it was a practice 2,000 penalties a week.
Yeah.
But it's all the same, isn't it? It's all about the moment. It's about having the
upstairs
technique is one thing, pressure. But the need to be able to, you know.
But you need, like, from a penalty taking point of view, you've got to realise it's me and the slitter or the football. It's me. Just concentrate on the pick, the strike. Pick your spot and put it away. Yeah, TJ, I know you never took penalties in your life.
I'd be more of a panicker man, I think. I'd wait for him to dive and just dink it down the middle.
In our day, of course, there was three fellas in the goals. Like it must be very easy to score goals now. Like,
that was blasting. That was blasting.
Oh, yeah, it was pick it and hit it as hard as you could.
There was a lot to be said for him in the old style. I remember your man used to hear him for West Ham years and years ago, a fellow called Ray Stewart, and he just used, he'd keep it under the crossbar and leather it.
Blast the top corner.
It was nearly impossible. His record from them was incredible. A bit to be said for it. Now, I admired the last Moroccan fella. Dink it down.
Waited for a second, just kicked it in the middle.
No.
Famous one, obviously, is Tony Cascarino taking the sad of turf, bit like your man, like
David O'Leary.
Yeah, unreal.
David O'Leary, and we all looked at each other. But, the great honeysuckle, Mark.
Jenny.
16 times. She was going for 17, was it?
All good runs.
15 gone for, amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, but she went down no sort, to be fair, as Jane Mangan said. That's exactly what she said when she went down no sort, beating a couple of lengths. Had everything right, jumped the last, I suppose. But you had the other two, Classical Dream, coming at her. I was shouting for Classical Dream because I have the half-sister at home with a Nathaniel Cole fall on the ground and she's back and fall to Crystal Ocean. So
that's Dream second.
So, but no, it was a great one as well and he's won a good few of them. But it was a classic race. But what she has given to the sport has been phenomenal. There was a huge crowd at the races and it just proves yet again, when the best are on view, people will come and support.
Taking on the best as well.
Oh yeah, brilliant. But she
mightn't be finished yet.
No,
she could still win in Leprechaun in February. Like
Constitution,
the Irish champion.
Constitution Hilda will be.
Looks different gravy.
Okay.
That's the big challenge, I suppose.
We'll probably do a Cheltenham special. Les, I did a lot of hurling, as I said. Went to Thurles to see my fellow parishioners. Belly A. Derry Clinch had a go at you on Twitter.
There was no H.
We didn't miss you.
Belly,
we didn't miss you.
Belly A. Is that it? Did I get it right?
Just the A. But was delighted with him, I have to say, really through the kitchen sink at a brilliant club team, obviously defending All-Ireland champions now back to back, Munster winners. I think there's only four or five clubs. No one has done it since Dora Bearfield, actually. And that was the team of, you know, Jamesy and Shawnee and Baker, etc., Christie and Goal. And, you know, they were a great club team. We suffered a bit to them. Now, we made them suffer for a little while too. But they eventually lost out to Athenry going for the back-and-back All-Ireland. So who's to say that could come to pass as well? Because, amazingly, lads, we have the same four back at the same stage as last year. It's incredible, isn't it? That four team. Well, we haven't. Excuse me. I'm wrong. Good lie. Through a spanner on that one.
But Dale,
sorry to the O'Kane family up there. Yeah, very bad to me.
We did make this point last year about the best teams continuously performing. And I made the analogy from a Cork point of view that there's no one team in Cork that has a dominant feature of winning two or three or four counties back to back to give them the opportunity to go on to win Munster and win an All-Ireland. I think that is...
Since Newtown.
But that's a while ago, like, you know. Yeah. So it's like the current system is that you've had probably seven or eight different county champions in the last decade. Barring Imi Killie, that won three in a row, who couldn't represent the county, which is a pity because they're all drawn from junior and intermediate clubs. And that's something I think that the Cork County Board or maybe Croke Park can look at, because when I see the explanation...
I'm not going to get away with this now. After looking at your 25-year team coming out onto the field to the Cork final, a county team.
Your explanation of Belly A and where they come from is made up of as many clubs as in McKillie is.
Not hurling clubs.
Yeah. They're football clubs.
Football clubs.
Well, I tell you so much, your county board need to have a chat with themselves. Look at all the football clubs that are not providing hurling in the club itself. But I thought your actual
where Claire is made up,
you know, your description of the whole thing was brilliant. I was infatuated
really good,
by the whole thing, Dale, because I never imagined that in the club, like, you know, in the county.
It only came to me kind of after we were off the air that day. Like, does that not go on a fair bit, we'll say, in West Cork, like?
West Limerick,
yeah, West Limerick as well,
yeah.
No, they don't maybe come and hurl with one club.
Correct.
They don't hurl at all.
That's what I was totally surprised with, that you had so many football clubs that had maybe one or two lads who said, look, we'll go in and play with Belly A. I just found that incredible, to be honest with it. Like, all the lads that make up in McKillie are playing junior intermediate hurling. They're hurlers first and foremost to make up in McKillie. But, like, to travel 10, 15 miles, maybe 20 miles.
5, 30.
That's incredible. I must say, I was blown away. And I don't know that people actually outside of Clare would actually realise that. So,
I think to try and maybe just put, I suppose, the 90s, maybe their dads and that got hooked on the hurling, right? And then the 13 team, I think a lot of these were small lads, you know.
Right, okay.
And they saw the Tony Kellys and these lads and Indra, and I want to hurl daddy or mammy, you know.
Fair enough, yeah.
I think that's probably what really got it going. I explained to you about my aborted efforts.
Yeah, but you were doing it for the right reasons.
Well, there was an opportunity, you know.
Well, look, I don't want to go on. I was involved with Imi Killie underage, under 15s. Myself and Fergal Condon, who's a current selector with the senior team, and I remember we wanted to do a long puck to raise money to fund for the T-shirts, and we went to the East Cork Board at the time to get the okay, and they said, no, you're not insured. But she said, every club in the county is going to be doing a long puck on Stevens' Day, and the reason I got back afterwards was, well, if we've got to do it for the hurlers, we'll be forced to have to give the under-15 footballers jerseys as well. I just said, sorry, we're doing it for the right reasons, but there seems to be a hierarchy above the likes of you and me who want to do it for the right reasons that we're constantly putting you down and don't want to progress this thing.
The suits. Yeah, in fairness to them, they were looking after you well the evening after your 25-year team. I was with you for an hour after that there, and it seemed to be a bit of a free-for-all, TJ, with vouchers and looked after in Clancy's
very well by Monty. Well, the vouchers, that's the very important thing.
You had a good hold to the fist of vouchers.
But Anthony, isn't it just brilliant to be able to have 35 fellas come together that had won a couple of counties, 97, 98, back-to-back, first time was done, obviously, from a divisional point of view, and have fellas rekindling relationships and renewing relationships. You've done it yourself, I think, at the county final in Clare this year. TJ, you were in the Gaelic grounds, I think, for the National League. I don't know what reason you'll be there next year. You'll probably have some other dog fight, I suppose. I was
beside Sparrow when he came out. He said he wasn't too sure he wanted to come out for the league. I said, we didn't win any league, John.
But isn't it brilliant?
Yeah, no, it is. Any time you get together for a positive occasion is good. And meeting people, because, look, time goes quick. You know, people move on. So to get everyone together in a room again, especially in a sporting occasion where you're part of a team, whether it's work now coming up. So what you don't want to be doing is meeting these people at funerals. That's the reality.
And that's another side of it, isn't it?
That's a fact. The game itself, TJ, I suppose, 9-point win for the Gunners. As I said, from a Clare point of view, really thought maybe it was Bellier's best performance and had maybe seen them 3, if not 4 times in Clare. Thought they were struggling and they struggled against the Bears as well, to be honest. If the Bears had 15, possibly may have got over the line. Yeah. And yet they really threw the kitchen sink. And I wrote on the Saturday that they'd really have to play out their skin and Tony possibly have to produce one of his a real TK performance. And for 25 minutes, the Tony Kelly show is on. Now the system allowed him a little bit, but in fairness to Dara Sullivan, he has so many options. And I said it on Monday, actually, I'd say that Shane, his brother, who's been around the block now, in fairness to Shane, he'd be their most experienced man, was asked to go and pick up Tony instead of probably having it a bit cosy at wing back. He had to go mano-mano on Kelly to let Philip Mahoney sit in the pocket. But Shane, I'd say, he might have looked out at Dara and said, hi, did you ask me to do this 4 or 5 years ago? I'd have done it. He did it, and he did concede a couple of frees, picked up a yellow, and Tony still got a couple from play, but he sort of stopped the overlaps and the little typical Kelly Jinkin runs, you know, to get the ball off Gary Brennan or get the ball off Jack Brown, take the few strides forward and have the shot, and his accuracy was so good. But ultimately, I suppose, you just look at the inside line with Desi, Kevin Mahoney and this new wonder kid man of the match, Patrick Fitzgerald, and it was just too much to cope with. I thought the Bellier full back line did their best, you know, mentally tried to stick to their guns, but all three were a savage shit. And then Pádraic Mahoney is possibly having one of the seasons of his life, like the way he's going at the moment.
Yeah,
Davey will definitely be looking for him.
Yeah, I think you've covered it all there pretty well. I said, first of all, to Tony Kelly, I suppose we have to give him a lot of credit for the timing of his runs. He's striking left and right. His ability to score from play. He's just a phenomenal player, and you'd love to go and see him. And I said, we were all probably at home thinking another TK show on the way here, and he was excellent. I will agree with you on the inside lines. I said, you're definitely way more options than Belly Gunner. And by the time they started getting ball in there, they looked way more dangerous and looked like scoring the goal. Bellier needed everything to go right. They hung into the game for as long as they could. Their work rate, I will agree with you. Their energy, their fitness, really, really good. I think Adrian O'Brien's going to be good help from a Clare point of view, having his expertise coming in there and already having benefit from the Clare Championship. But overall, Belly Gunner, worthy winners, just have set the bar really, really high. Knows, to win one is tricky, to put them back to back. Look at the situation when they were hunted, you know, and they came through a difficult path. They had to beat to be the Tip champions, to be the Limerick champions, and then go and win the final against Bellier, who were a seasoned outfit, no one.
And probably the feeling on the ground was that when they beat Nipiercy,
did
the job done.
Which can be dangerous.
So they were so professional.
Bellier were 6-1, I think.
Yeah. But you know yourself, sometimes when the talk around the idle talk that kind of seeps into fellas' heads, that they mightn't be that focused.
They have a lot of class, haven't they? In terms of their work right in the middle of the field, and Desi, and now, as you said, Patrick Fitzgerald, for a guy who was, let's say, unable to play with him last year, basically, who's his first year into senior. I know it definitely helps when the Mahoney's and Desi and all them take some of the limelight and they're taking some of the man markers away, but still he stepped up and he scored some unbelievable scores. He's a bright future, this lad. Could he potentially play for Waterford next year?
I'd say he could.
Davey, you'll be also saying,
you'll be looking at him,
get him in there anyway.
Yeah,
have him around. Let's see what he's like in May when the ball is buzzing. And don't know if has he the leaving done? I wonder. Has he come back?
Don't know.
Definitely played in the half.
But even the way the game has gone, Dale, I suppose maybe it's an option. 15, 20 minutes, 10 minutes.
For sure,
it's a role, isn't it?
Yeah, he's bowled as well. He's got a goal nearly in every game, I think.
Finished the goal very well too, didn't he?
And he got another savage chance after. It was one of those games where they probably got 4 good goal chances.
Yeah.
Only took one. Bellier got one. And Aaron Griffin maybe hesitated at that bit. And they had to get it.
Yeah.
And they had to still hope at the other side of it
that
Belly Gunner maybe got none of the 4 chances.
Yeah.
Do you know? And Barry Coote had the game of his life in goal. He was very good and made 1 or 2 great saves. But they march on. They look determined, unbelievable to be in the car afterwards and hear Stephen O'Keefe being interviewed with Pádraic Lodge, and he's kind of saying, we'll enjoy tonight and we'll enjoy tomorrow because it's so important to enjoy a Munster Championship. We know we didn't know Saturday night exactly what we had to face in against. We possibly suspected
Ballyhale
and repeated the final. It was incredible that you'd be saying, another team would be saying, well, no, we won't be enjoying this at all. No, we'll be going go straight to bed.
But that experience, doesn't it?
That's experience. But at the same time,
county championship one, like.
Yeah, he touched on the fact that they had to celebrate. I think in all walks of life, it's very important to celebrate the milestones as you prepare for the road ahead, like, because these competitions are so hard to win. Right. And, you know what I mean? They might have a team now. No, the way things are going in Ballygunner, I think everyone's forecasting them to be around for a long time to come, the way they are with their second team and underage. But still an incredible achievement.
But the lads are putting in so much commitment, and they put aside so much time in terms of, you know, their diet, you know, probably no holidays and stuff like that. When the opportunity, and the reason they're doing that is to taste success. It doesn't guarantee you anything, but when you do get success, you must celebrate it. And that means
what you're basically saying there is it's not taking as much out of them as the juice to take out of us.
<Quite possibly. laughs> Dale, tricky question, right? But the likes of Ballyhale and Ballygunner, and let's even St. Thomas's, and obviously Dunlaino, those club teams aren't far off, let's say, the top seven or eight inter-county teams. Like they'd come in somewhere there. Like that's the type of level you're talking about.
Incredible, yeah, incredible, no doubt about it. Like that Napiercig Ballygunner match, like you were just there and sitting in the stand.
That's some standard, like.
Sheenie Mac, this is some stuff here. And like you're in at times, like, I mean, I always say the great sign of a game, lads, is when I'm sitting there, and I was in the old stand side, which was closed off to the public, but you were looking across at the crowd on the far side, which is, I suppose, 3:15 on a Saturday is not a great time, but to be able to get the match shown live because of the Leinster finals, and there was a kind of football final as well on the Sunday. They had to, and I think everyone appreciated it being on the TV. Still a great atmosphere there, and I think it was 2,500 there, but they really, you know, got stuck in. And but the match was 26 minutes on, and I thought about 15, and I glanced up at the scoreboard.
It's nearly half time.
And there's the score, and the clock beside it, 26, 27. Yeah. And I said, Genie Mac.
Yeah, it flew by.
And that's why the standard is so high. And like, there's no such thing now, really, as the club player at this level. When you get on to Munster Club, Leinster Club, to Galway Champions, and the Ulster Club, to be fair, what an achievement by Dunleavy to dethrone this team we all felt might be due to get to the final. Schlachneil but Dunleavy had done it, I think, 3 in a row, if not 4 in a row in Antrim. So be fair, that level, the club player anymore, like, isn't you need to be something different nearly at that level, don't you?
Well, I think, as we're probably in the season our clubs are planning for 2023, Dale, I'm sure that there's probably people knocking on your door. Not sure about you, Marco. You probably haven't time anyway. But anyway, like the level every club is at now, especially the guys at the cutting edge trying to win a county senior championship. Like, there's S&C, there's video analysis, there's stats people, there's coaches, there's managers. It is getting very, very close to like where the inter-county game.
The Gunners stats team were in front of me because obviously I'm over where and you can see everything. And Ballyhale had, I think, 2 lads. They might have had a couple of more in the press box. But there was 11 guys sitting together with bits of paper.
Oh.
And, you know, like we have now, the earpieces on them, talking down. And I was going to give one of them or two of them a bit of jib, like, there's 11 of you there together. Did one not think to tell someone to mark up TK after 20 minutes? But that'll tell you the level. Yeah. You know, the levels are gone to a new degree altogether.
Yeah. I'm saying, it's savage. The calmness of the two managers too, in fairness. It's very, just very... all very organised, very structured.
Yeah. But I think a lot of the
work. Dara Sully came down the line out where he shouldn't have come against Napiercig.
Right.
And I think Shane Dow and Kieran Birmingham unceremoniously told him get back up fairly lively. But there was none of that last Sunday. Robbie's calm anyway. Robbie Hogan,
Robbie's very calm,
tranquil guy, and he watches it all. And I think
we call it the Swan effect in Cube. all very calm and peaceful up top.
But underneath,
heading like Jesus underneath.
That's why you're going so well.
Yeah. But like, so, do you think there's going to be a kind of an inter-county tier, the top club tier, and then everybody else? Like, will the other teams start to come up to the other club?
I think they will.
I think Lee said during the week about it's up to us.
Correct.
To get up to Ballygunner.
He's right.
Do you know?
He's right. I think
it's like when you were flying in 95, 96, 97, all county teams think we have to get up there. Then Cork came along, all the other teams. Then Kilkenny came along. Now Limerick are there. Yeah. And all the other counties are trying to get up to Limerick. So
what you'd worry about is kind of the super clubs, you know. No, it's more of a Dublin thing maybe, you know, where you're looking at Kilmacud and Bowden and Coola having so many teams, you know.
Yeah, I don't have the stats to back this up yet, right, but I do see with senior clubs a migration towards numbers. Like, that is definitely, I think it's going to happen, and we possibly, like, so I suppose maybe the lesser number clubs will have to just work harder and harder to make sure they keep everybody and keep that level up. So that'll be kind of a watch this space, but I definitely see, even in Limerick now, the Limerick City clubs, like if I name even like some Monaleen, who's a great win in the Munster against Ross Grey, like Munger are definitely improving, like the bigger numbers at underage, and it's a huge help.
Yeah.
Now you have to manage them, but in fairness to them, these clubs are doing it.
Yeah, well done to the Gunners. One little thing I just wanted to, I mentioned Shane O'Sullivan doing the job, so he had to vacate number 5, obviously, and you're not putting Philip Mahoney out to number 5, so Conor Sheehan, who had got 4 points in play against the Piercy, had to just go back from midfield. Paddy Levy took over midfield in lots of ways, and they dropped kind of Peter Hogan out as an extra midfielder who was outstanding as well. So it just goes to show like what they have.
He's a brilliant
club
player, isn't he?
Yeah, you know.
He's a brilliant, I mean, brilliant club player.
Both those midfielders, they could be on Davies' radar very easily as well.
They could be. I'm sure that was planned or pre-planned. You'd have to, I think, if you were facing against a team of Tony Kelly in the future, I think you might have plan A and plan B to kind of say, like, when Tony's operating in between the lines and he's elusive and there's nobody really picking him up, like, he can have 7 or 8 from play chipped in very quick.
Will Limerick even have to resort to that?
Well, as I said, they haven't. It would have been, like, it was one of the questions that we threw out there, that if Limerick and Clare had qualified for the All-Ireland final last year, which wasn't far away, obviously, right? It would have been game 3. Is that would have been the question. Would there have been a change? We didn't get there, but I don't know. I suppose from the point of view of, if it's not broken, you don't need to fix anything.
We might see John Kiley later on to function. We might.
You can ask him.
We get a couple of beers in, Tim. Well done. Well done to Ballygunner. Incredible achievement, lads. So I was back into the car Sunday morning, lads. I couldn't get a couple of years with the Crokes, and I was on about a super club in there. Like, to see, I didn't stay for the football, obviously. They'd know that. They'd understand that.
What did you mean Sheehan do in the end? The dual player?
Brian Sheehan, he played the hurling.
He played the hurling.
Yeah. Right,
okay. He was high with footballers, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Did he come on? I don't know. Brian, yeah.
Right, okay.
Clare Heritage, you know, Christy Killeen's grandson. Massive.
Yeah. If you're going to have a club that has nearly 99% of the fellas are in hurling.
Being unfair on him too, then.
Oh, 100%.
Because he'll come on in nearly every football game, you know.
Yeah.
But he'll obviously get the football medal. Like, he'd be gutted with the hurling because he was really outstanding himself and Dara Butler in the full back.
We had that situation with Dermot O'Sullivan when we played Galway in a hurling match championship. Cork played either Clare or Kerry in the football match as a double header. Sully was a sub in the football team, and he was playing obviously full back on the hurling team, and we were inside in the dressing room ready to go out, like there was no warm up really in that stage. Was get out and do a few pucks and away you go, and everybody's inside. And he's saying, Sully, the match has to go into extra time outside, okay? So we're all sitting down waiting for Sully to come in. Next of all, you could hear the toop, 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 toop coming down. Comes in, of course, rips off the jersey number 26, puts on number 3 and runs back out of the dressing room. Like,
speaking of Sully,
it's so unfair now, like, do you know what I mean? But it was kind of...
He hadn't played in the football, though, had he?
He did! He came on in the football. Big head of sweat on him.
No fear of it.
Do you know? No, Asher, he's... Brilliant player. Like,
did I see this week he's taken up a role with the Down senior hurling team?
In
the back room, Sully? So.
Yeah, and involved with the Sarahs senior hurling team as well as selected with John Crowley.
Ron Sheehan would be with Down, sure, wouldn't he?
Yeah. So, like, he's going to be a busy guy next year.
Great for them then to have someone like Sully coming up there and just having him involved and kind of pushing the thing on. Like,
huge. Yeah. It was an incredible achievement for the Kilmacud Crokes to have both teams in the Leinster final. It's on the same day, you know, it was incredible. And a hurling team, absolutely exclusively their own. No transferred guy, no one from the outside in the management. Right. Corcoran might have given a bit of a hand, but Corcoran is there so long now.
Yeah.
You know, but in fairness to them, you know, they'd get a bit of flack, and I suppose the Shane Walsh team gets a bit of flack coming up to play with the footballers, the hurling team exclusively. I have to say, TJ, 7 or 8 minutes into the second half, it was looking bad. It was gone out to 14 points. What a fight back. 1-7 without reply. Then it looked as if the Ballyhurs had weathered the storm. Then the second goal by Alex Considine, brilliant goal in back tap point, and ebbed and flowed, and of course they still found a way, Ballyhale, and it might actually do them no harm for 2 weeks' time in terms of if they'd gone on. I was afraid when I was 14 it might go to 20-ish.
I know.
It was looking that way.
They were hurling so well, there's so many
classic players. And first the Crokes, they really did dig deep. Now, was there a little bit of complacency set in? Because the big four up front, TJ, Adrian Mullen, who was running the game in the first half, Owen Cody and Conor Finlay, they kind of virtually went to sleep now without the Gunner lads won't be thanking me for saying this, but they did. And no, in fairness to the Crokes lads and them, they really stood up. Dara Butler was outstanding at full back. I would have had Dara on for a couple of years. Great bit of stuff. Like when he just throws off the shackles. I think he flew back to Dubai that evening. He's working over there. But you know, they had Fergal Whiteley got a grip of the game at that stage. Oisín O'Rourke and young Dara Purcell, who I'd say Micheál Donoghue was sitting in the center saying, you're five from play against Ballyhale, you're kind of penciling him in for your Dublin team for next year anyway, aren't you? But yes, it might just stand to them for 2 weeks' time.
It might. Momentum and that drive in sport can often be, just like you said there, a big steam engine effect that when you're moving and you're driving, it's unbelievable. And then when you kind of slow down, as you said during the second half, like maybe some of the players, you can't say that they went out to do that, but your mindset switches off a little when it's coming that easy and you're 14 points up. And then when it swings, it just can take a while to get back into the zone as well. I suppose we'll never really know, Della, the goal, how significant that was. Like I said, it just seemed to be at the time, it definitely was the momentum stopper for me, for sure. Like I said, that closed it back out in favour of Ballyhale. If that hadn't have gone in, hard to know, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's like, tell you the truth now, the young lad in goal used to poke back the balls with Tom Stakelham behind the goal back in 2011, 2013 with the Dubs. Eddie Gibbons, he's a tremendous keeper for me. He's the way forward. No disrespect to the current Dublin keepers. Yeah. Fantastic Dublin minor keeper, Dublin 20 keeper. His puck outs alone, lads. His speed of restart. Yeah. Mm. It's what everybody's looking for in the modern game. He just took his eye off one. I played him out the field when we were there. We had Matty Collins from Cork.
Yeah.
So I played Eddie out the field, corner forward, because he's such hands and such a catcher of the ball. He just misjudged slightly, got distracted slightly. It was a killer. It was a killer.
We had a fellow playing goals for us back in, we won the count in 2005, Darren Hayes. He actually works with me. He won't like me for saying this now, but we refer to them goals for years to come afterwards as a hazer, because he would be there kind of looking at next thing to, oh, Jesus.
We're sorry.
Holding my hand.
But a great goalie, don't get me wrong. Great worker. He's a good listener to the show as well. Like, but I suppose it's just unfortunate, just as you said, like,
you make a mistake full back, you might have the Dazzler behind you.
Correct.
He's no one behind him. The poor old lady had no one behind him, you know.
Yeah, just unfortunate. But as I said, that just seemed to be the game that just changed it back again. Like, so, but if that hadn't gone in, you just never know. But
and Mark, with Ballyhale, Pat Hoban is over him this year. Pat, numerous All-Ireland intermediate titles won, minors won. Mm. They seem to be able to go to a new manager any given year and still
perform.
Yeah. Incredible club.
It's a quality of a good friend of mine. Worked with him, Eamon Brennan, for years in Kilkenny, and he kept saying to me, you know, Ballyhale would just struggle in the early rounds of the club championship, but he said, they always come good when the need is greatest. They know how to get it done. And like, Ed's, I was at the All-Ireland semi-final 2-3 years ago when Cork played Kilkenny, and TJ was there, and he looked like he was struggling big time. And we said that day probably might be his last in some respects at inter-county level. And then the man comes back, and he's just like a new gazelle. Like, he's just an incredible player. And we're so blessed. I mentioned about Messi earlier on the soccer. The likes of having the TJ Reeds playing to Tony Kelly's, like, they are box office stuff. Like, and I know
we still have them going.
Like, they're phenomenal. These fellas,
Páraic Manny, this young for
sure. Yeah,
and it's the flip side of the argument then about numbers. You've Kilmacud with 5,000 plus members,
and you have Ballyhale with
200-300
the limited
members.
Number.
But they have the culture and the history.
Else going on there. They're all cousins, so brothers, all that kind of stuff. Like, I mean, you know,
and you were on about, like, earlier on about Ballyhale and the whole thing is these fellas. Only young she, he was involved on both the adult senior panels.
Right, yeah.
Think
about
it. Yeah. Same club.
Yeah.
So it's a whole different dynamic.
Like, it is.
It's a savage size of a thing. Like, I remember one day walking into the club with Richie for a cup of tea upstairs before training, up early, and we'd have a chat. And we had the lads coming in, the rest of the selectors, Billy and whoever was coming in to meet us for a cup of tea. And we met this lad coming down the stairs against us in a Crokes top, and definitely around 50-ish mark. And how are things? How are you getting on? How are you, lads? You know? And he said, the best of luck. And he says, who's that lad, Rich? And he said, I haven't a clue, Dale. There you go. Like, where would you get it in much other clubs?
Yeah.
No, Crokes top on. Best of luck on the lads.
Yeah, amazing, yeah.
Amazing.
Like, Tom Barry, a Corkman, is up there. And he would have been involved in the we say the All Ireland finals in Burlington and stuff like that, he would have been one of the organisers. And he told me, like, it's just the numbers are absolutely phenomenal above there. Mm. By all accounts, the legendary, has it like that on the day of the memberships, the underage memberships, they have to get Security Court to call to take the cash away. That it's just so many members want to join Kilmacud Crokes. And he said to me at one stage, you had 8 divisions of football teams at adult level.
Yeah.
That's just a phenomenal level. And then
maybe you go 6 hurling.
Yeah. And then you go down to the likes of Castlehaven in West Cork. They would have fellas from 16 to 37 or 38 playing. And
keep thing going.
They'd be one of the clubs that, you know, this whole decoupling that's going on at the moment.
And the problem they have, is facilities. Where do you get land? How do you get land? Sure. If they had what Clarecastle have at the moment, like with the you know, 4.5 pitches all on the one site, wall ball, new Astro pitch going in. They take the hand off you if they could just transport it up.
Wasn't Castle was on during the week as well, that the whole big thing in Dublin is going to be the lack of ground and the lack of GAA facilities that are there for clubs, like, you know.
Yeah. Hat tip to TG4 as well, Dale O'Beaman, that's in, like, this great coverage of the club championships, bringing it in. I have to say, I'm not sure what you mark about, my Irish is improving every year. Yeah. But I've learned more Irish from TG4 than I'd say I ever did in school. And you're a brilliant commentator as well, like, in fairness.
But that's because on Sunday, on Saturday, because there was no one in the old stand side, you meet everyone, you know. And I met them all. Pat Flory, a cup of tea with him at half time, and he spoke English to me. So we spoke about TK.
That's really good.
And McDara is just a mine of knowledge, and of course, Galway man living in Waterford, and you get every story going. It's great, you know. You get the inside track on how this is going, and I suppose we'd stick with it while we're at it, because is he only asking McDara, like, if Ballyhale were to win tomorrow, like, this was Saturday, obviously, there's a fair bit of rivalry. I'd say Ballygunner are two different provinces, but so close.
And their neighbours.
Yeah.
Really. Well, will we touch on the speech first before we go in the match?
Well,
can you give us a quote, or what's the actual piece of the what is the kernel of the issue here?
This is the Tom Daly of GAA. It's our own, right, our old buddy Coughlin.
Well, to get the glasses on now for this, don't you? But it's our own John Fogarty, our main GAA writer. And the headline is Shamrock star Fendi left disrespected by Gunner speech. It goes back to last year's final, where Philip Mahoney and Barry Coughlin, Mark, you've had a few things to say about Barry in the past, especially after the Loughmore match last year. A tremendous fullback now, lads. I mean, really, change again. I mean, club level fullback as they come. And of course, they had a huge battle in the game. And one of the two giant captains makes the speech, and Barry's speech. And I think Colin was just interviewed after day one against Kilmacud, and he said their speech at the end of the game, it's not something you want to hear. You want that little bit of respect, but look, we'll keep our heads down and we'll do what we can over the 2 weeks. So that's what he basically said. Now, we go back to the speech. I think what Barry Coughlin said after Harry Ruddle put the ball in the net in injury time, and I'd say it was unbelievable relief from them. What he actually said was, and to Ballyhale, I'm not going to patronise... going to be patronising, which you're going to go down as one of the best club teams ever. Like, literally, we robbed it today, you know. I suppose you've that done to other teams, so I suppose it what goes around comes around. But I mean that with the most respect. You're on the road a long time, and hopefully we'll see you again next year if you do get out again. And by God, they're out again. But I don't think there was too much. I mean, Ballyhale were after doing the Thomases. TJ, so
I think he's nailing the head there, in fairness to Barry Coughlin in his speech. Nothing wrong for me there. I suppose in dressing rooms,
Colin is just using it.
They like to create an edge. Yeah. And maybe he's doing that. It's a hell of a game to look forward to. As I said, he's just kind of lit a little bit of a fire there now, hasn't he, for his own crew. And I'm sure, being the senior member, one of the senior members in that dressing room, I'm sure he'll be saying, lads, don't leave me down.
He will be directly marking Barry, according to my sums. Unless they bring him out to centre or something.
Video cam there on the two of them.
Unless just say, knowing the two of them as players, Mark, there won't be anyone backing down. Like.
No, definitely not. But unfortunately, and I wanted Coughlin out the door, right?
Come on.
He has a habit of doing the Tom Daly for me.
He's a good, tough, honest fullback, in fairness. They're hard to find.
Luke Fell, who took 2 red cards because he went down, and me man John McGrath as well. You mentioned it in the last pod show we did about
last year.
You know, Conor Cahalan against your man, young Brown, Jack Brown, yeah, you mentioned about young Hayes that went down, then popped up, am I going to get a free? Like, so this thing has to be stamped out, right? Yeah. We've seen it in soccer. We all agree this diving is not acceptable. We don't want to be going down that route, right? And let's be straight, TJ. There are some managers out there are telling the players, if you think you're going to get a free, go down. If he hears a holy tip and the hole, the head has gone down straight away looking for a free. Come on, lads. Stand up and be a proper
We've had a lot of chance to see Barry since
on the television.
That Loughmore game. Anyway. And I haven't seen no hint of it since.
He's listening to the podcast. He's listening to you.
What we'll talk about is we'll talk about what's coming down the track. He will be directly man marking Colin Fenley.
Well, we don't know that.
I think he will.
If I have a couple of hours to spare, I might go to the match and I'll go up that side of the field and I might be shouting in a few words, "Stay standing, my friend! Stay standing!"
It's happened done as well. Dale, back to the game. Great game to look forward to. I suppose me personally and selfishly, I was kind of hoping it might be on there maybe in Turles or Parkachieve or something there on a Saturday evening. We could have rocked on down to it. But look, in fairness to the to be fair to the players, like, to play in Croke Park, which are club, I'm sure all players look forward to that, so it's a great opportunity. The fact that it happens to be on the same time as the World Cup is difficult as well, but I'm going to maybe throw a small bit of a colour on it, in the sense that Thomas's couldn't play on the Saturday because they have a club wedding, and that was in there with a long time. The great Dara Burke has finally tied the knot, and fair play to that lady for tying him down. She'll have a job in her hands.
What has that got to do with Ballyhale and Ballygunner?
They couldn't play on the Saturday, so they look for their game to be put. So then obviously they put the two of them together. And look, I suppose, look, they're meeting the World Cup head on. It happens to be on the middle of the day. Like, they couldn't probably play it the following week because it's Christmas Day.
But still, I put up a tweet last night, TJ. I don't tweet too many things independently.
Yeah.
But word came through the various gurus that'd be on Twitter there that this was a doubleheader croaker. Like, the whole logistics of getting there for 3:30 on a Sunday, which might as well be a Saturday.
A shopping Sunday.
Because the last Sunday before Christmas. It's mental for my mind. The great Joe Bally probably had 4 or 5 tweets back at me. We should be doing more for hurling at the weaker levels. I should be doing more to try and change the rules. And a few lads text me to say, don't respond to Bally, you won't win, because Joe will be leading the witness. Like, he would be in quite good pals, Joe and myself. And he has... He does make great points. I just don't get this one. I think the much vaunted stadium, Marco, that you tell us all about, Little All Ireland in the Little Croke Park, fantastic Parkachieve. What a venue that would have been! Yeah. You know, 6:30 under the lights on Saturday evening, once off game. Yeah. I don't think Croke Park is available on the Saturday. There's fixtures on there, so that was out. And If then play Dunleavy and Thomas's at 1:00 in Croke Park, if everyone wants to play in Croke Park.
I was kind of thinking, could they have played Thomas's and Dunleavy even on a Friday night? Because even to be fair to all that crew, and like, talk about tight knit communities, Thomas's boys, like, they'll all be going to the wedding, all the families be going to the wedding, like, having to be in Croke Park for a 1:30 kick or throw in the following day kind of takes a bit of a
I saw Gary O'Kane, Gregory's the manager, obviously. Great Gary would have played in the 89 final, great player, top man, saying a double header is the only fair place in Croke Park for this. So Dunleavy, I think, want to come here. And
I know, and I can understand that. Why would you not want to play in Croke Park?
Yeah, it's a hard one. I understand it's a hard one. Yeah. With due respect to the Toms, and obviously they're massive contenders, so Dunleavy, because we've seen how close Sloch Neill have got in the last few years. I mean, frightening the life out of Ballyhale, I think, 3 years ago. And I think, you know, they're entitled to fancy their chances, but Ballygunner and Ballyhale after last year's final is the glamour tie. Yeah. I think as many people, why would you go up again? No, look, I played a Munster final in 1998 in Turles against Waterford, and it wasn't the drawn match, not the replay. And I think France beat Brazil in the World Cup 3-0. The 2002 final, the amazing one, the Waterford beat Tipping down in Parkachieve. Had a lovely, leisurely Sunday that day with the great Fergie Toohey. We didn't go home at all. We said we'd mingle with the Waterford fans. World Cup final, I think, was on that day. So we're used to it happening, I think, in the summer, because we have our set fixtures. Munster final date is fixed, but I think for the last 2 years, this date was known. Don't know, fairness to Dara Burke's wedding, I'm not taking away.
I'm surprised Paul and John would have maybe. They're great planners now, in fairness. They would have known this is a possibility. So Dara, yeah. Kind of, he must have snuck that under.
For me, it's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's a glamorous match. I don't know why we have to go against the World Cup on this one. Like, why? Yeah. Look, it doesn't. I'll have one television in the pub showing the World Cup, and I'll have one showing TG Cahir. Yeah. I'll have to get someone in to get that sorted for me because the one channel goes on both places at the moment. But right. We'll get that done. We'll get that sorted. We had to do it years ago, I think, for Dora Bearfield being in an All Ireland club final and Cheltenham. Been on, I think it was Gold Cup Day.
Yeah.
So we'll do that. It'll be done. People will be able to see whichever one they want. I know which one I'll want to watch. It will be the hurling. No issue with that.
I think it's a fair point to you, Dylan. Given the fact that the World Cup final is on once every 4 years, having to clash with it, you'd be kind of saying, could we not have found a way?
Yeah, I think.
I think we're all in agreement with that, to be fair. And, you know, whether it was a double header or not, like.
Did you play soccer, Michael?
I did.
Kind of strike me as an old centre half.
No, big
hidden, you know. Bit of a Harry Maguire,
no. Middle of midfield.
Oh, jeez. Okay. I can't believe
box
that.
Box to box.
All right. Who'd you pass it to?
But I don't think the GAA needs to be going up against the World Cup. I think if you're trying to promote our sport, which is hurling, why are you going directly against the World Cup? No matter whether you're in horse racing or whether you're in fly fishing, somebody and a lot of people will sit down and they'll watch the World Cup just because it is the World Cup.
100%.
And it's like a lot of people with the Gold Cup or the Grand National is probably the best example of the whole thing.
Yeah.
No matter what your sport is and what you're doing in life, you'll sit down and watch the Grand National because it's just that fixture.
Yeah.
And I think the same applies to the World Cup.
I think you're right.
I think the GAA have scored an own goal in themselves on this one. And
this is not contradicting ourselves, not because it was 46,000 in Turles the day of that 98 final. But that's our Munster final. That's set in stone. The club finals, we know, are scrambling to try and get to semi-finals. I think the four clubs got the option of going back after Christmas with the semi-finals.
Right.
But I think an awful lot of guys now are trying to plan, as you have argued with us here about planning all over the year with the new split season. I think a lot of them, I know the lad that scored a 3-3 for Ballygiblin.
Shane Beston.
Shane is not going on any honeymoon.
Right.
He's going in February. Right. So I don't think clubs wanted to go back to the new year. They wanted the final has a date in January, and they wanted to get the semi-finals over and be able to sit down and have the turkey and whatever, and not to be forced out again on the 5th or 6th. It happened last year, I think, with a wedding with the Ballygunner lads? No. Or Bellies. One of the big teams in last year's semis.
But we'd made this point, didn't we, lads?
But Mark, I played in the Munster Club final 25 years ago, and it was played on the 7th of December.
Munster Club final.
Yes,
right.
And that was the old normal season, and Clare had won the All Ireland Minor and the All Ireland Senior, and we didn't get to play a first round until that. All that was over in September, and that time I think it was around the middle Sunday in September. Mm. And I went to the Munster Club final on a Saturday, which really should have been the Sunday, only for it to be shown on TV, which would have been the 4th of December. Yeah. What has changed, Mark? Mm.
There was a great joke before, a Carlsberg joke about the World Cup final or whatever, that this fella, he happened to be getting married in the day, and he just happened to get World Cup final tickets presented to him. And so he sent out a message to kind of say that the tickets just fell into his lap, and that he sent out a message to all his friends and people that was there anybody available, and that just because he got tickets that on that particular day, was there anybody available to get married?
Look, it is what it is now. I think the fixture's made, and I still think there's a couple of weeks there where if you're one of the two teams and management involved, Ballyhale, you don't give a shit.
You don't care about that.
So maybe they'll just stick to it. But I think from a viewer's point of view and maybe trying to go to the game, I think the pub is so bloody well busy. Thank God that weekend. But I couldn't have gone away anyway.
The general public would sit down to watch Ballygunner and Ballyhale on the television.
And
that, that is a match that would attract football, hurling across the country.
Of course, they would, yeah.
And you have the World Cup on against it.
The game is destroyed because Limerick have gone too strong, and there's so many hand passes and there's so many rucks. Now it's like the 1880s, according to Joe. So, Joe, we don't agree.
Well, he's
I was at five matches in the last 3 weeks, including running from Innes to Limerick and County Final and Clare, and then running from Turles up to Croke Park. And okay, Joe, I was paid to be at least two of them. I was going to be at the County Final anyway in Clare. The other two I went of my own accord. I wasn't doing any reports or anything like that. So, and I really enjoyed those games.
I think we were fantastic. The Getty and Gary Spillane, got a lot of mercy in him. You would know.
You'd know, Joe.
I'm going to use the Brick Welsh one. Elsa move on. Let it go.
Okay. Look, it's a massive one to look forward to. I'll be watching.
Brilliant.
Best of luck to whoever's in the World Cup once Leo wins that as well. I'd like to finish that off. So look, lads, that's what's coming up. It's coming up to Christmas week. Incidentally, go way back to 1997. That time you had to play the champions of Great Britain. So the following weekend, which was nearly Christmas,
you had to head off.
We had to head to London.
Oh my God.
I asked for a show of hands who'd like to stay on in London maybe for a couple of days. And Wednesday, 13 of us, I think, came home from London town. It was almost Christmas week.
13 fellas missing.
Missing
in action.
We didn't worry about playing Borough, I think, maybe mid-February.
So
we enjoyed it.
Good idea. So you were celebrating like the Gunners are celebrating now.
Yeah, but I'd say they were better able to take that.
Right,
and maybe it set us back a little bit for our preparation.
When you mentioned London, I'm going to give a quick shout out to Kilburn Gaels. I mentioned them before. Ian Wheeler was on to me there again. They won the intermediate championship over there. They won the All Britain, and they're in the junior semi final against Eastkey from Sligo. And I actually met the fellow who was training Eastkey from Sligo at the county final again this year. So Kilburn Gaels, everything going well over there, keeping the flag flying, keeping the hurling flying, and they're interested in the three of us going over at some stage in the new year. We'll come back to that one.
I have no problem going to Kilburn, anyway.
I've been here before. Will I tell the lads where what's it? What?
We're good to go.
We're good to go, okay.
Good. It's good to go.
Tell them have it on a good bit before Cheltenham for the 2E. Anyway, then a bit of talk of maybe myself going this year, Stephen Sheedy, is meant for all.
Oh, excellent.
We'll see. Let's talk. It depends on how busy we are with National League and stuff like that. Ulster Club final on, lads. Only saw the highlights Monday night. Unfortunately, hadn't time to stream it and haven't got a chance yet to look at it. Obviously, it's only been Wednesday. Saw the TG Carr highlights Monday night. That show was a great addition to us. We could do with maybe something bigger on a Monday night where we could see a bit of analysis on it. And 12 to 16 points, nearly led all the way. I think Conal Cunning, full forward, did the damage. They were due, I think, to do one on them. They were expected to win. Schlock Neal to do it again, but the Dunleigh boys, and great congrats to them back. I suppose where they belong as well. One of the huge clubs in the Glens, and to the horse, Gregory. I haven't seen him in years, but you speak great old pal when we used to be sauntering away, and they'd be up and down out of Division 1B, and we would as well in Clare, and I often mocked him and called me a Free State B once in Croke Park in a league quarter final. And I told him we always fought a Fianna Fáil, so I'd go to tell him. But we left, we met later on that year, thinking an All-Star do maybe a year later. Lovely bloke, and he's the manager at Dunleigh, so huge congrats to him. We know the power that Schlock Neal are, and I think there was a large Monday in Dunleigh going by Gary on Twitter, TJ.
Yeah, absolutely. And to go back to what you said there, but for them, the opportunity now to go and have a semi-final in Croke Park, sure, isn't that great promotion? And the GAA will probably come right back at you and say, look, this is what we're trying to do. This is what the teams wanted. Like, we're listening to the players. Like, so for them, great, yeah. And as you said, Schlock Neal, like, we were probably, like, they were favourites, you know, so big result for them. And you know, I said they'll be giving themselves a chance now. I said they'll be sizing up Thomas's.
Just to throw this out, TJ, not just playing devil's advocate, and it was always a desperate, tough game for the Munster and Leinster champions when you faced the Ulster champions in Parnell. Usually. Mm-hmm. So many narrow escapes there now. Dura Bearfield in their pomp, Wolf Tones, Shannon, De La Salle in their pomp, a few more cases.
If you actually got beaten in Parnell, didn't they?
I think so. Yeah. Like, so. Are you saying maybe
got beat by Lochiel, didn't
it? If you're Gregory, maybe you'd be saying, okay, it is Croker, it's fantastic to be bringing the parish to Croker. Obviously, they were there, the Bridge beat them in a final there in 96. Gillies, big first one, he hadn't played for Six Mile Bridge in a county match in Clare. He played for Six Mile Bridge in Clare now. Yeah. He played in the All-Ireland semi-final and the All-Ireland final, going. But, you know, would you be saying, would you be as well off now if this was in Mullingar on the Sunday? And
tight pitch.
Tight and
blown of blades.
I think that narrative will be there. That's the reality. However, I'm going to go back to the promotion of the game. I spoke about Nace getting the opportunity to play in Croke Park. Mm. All these guys now, club team, I'm saying up at Antrim, getting the opportunity to come down, playing our Ireland semi-final in Croke Park. It's very hard to get away from what that's doing for teams and the opportunity that it's creating. So, but the narrative you just said, I like for me, I was involved with Thomas's there when we played in Parnell Park, just for some battle.
Yeah, look, we're not taking away, and you know, there's still, for me, there's no reason why that couldn't still have been played in Croke Park on the Sunday. It's going ahead, as it is going ahead, and they could be in some hotel in Dublin watching their World Cup final with an old beer afterwards.
Which would have worked.
Could have worked. So well done to Dunleavy. Huge chance for them now, and huge achievement to get back that Ulster title. So it'll be a great doubleheader. We will see both games, there's no doubt about that. Lots of action. I suppose we'll go back, we'll stay with senior for and the other semi-finalists, obviously the Toms, TJ, six county finals, no goal conceded, five in a row, we touched on it. I think the ref, good Kinvaraman, decided to leave the old whistle in the pocket, did he? I saw the incident with the goalie and Johnny Cohn. Who was Damien McGlynn, was it? Bearing down the goal. Johnny definitely fouled him from behind. The goalie, I'm not so sure that great friend of mine as well, Gary Maguire, on Mark Howard in a Dublin final a few years back. Gary got a yellow and we got a penalty, but Gary got the honour and glory of saving the penalty. Not being bitter, Gary, if you're listening, but... it was liberal enough refereeing, but I think it was both sides just accepted. Yeah. Big rivalry, big neighbours, and bang away, lads.
I met the chairman of the Galway board coming down after the game, like Paul Bellio, and he was kind of saying, like, the Kilkenny influence is definitely in Galway. So, in fairness to John McDonough here, right?
So you're saying Henry had said to Paul Bellio, Paul, tell the refs, let it go.
Like, you could pick a couple of isolated incidents where it looked to be a certain free. But he went with the narrative of that he left the game go as much as possible. It definitely created a spectacle. It was very tough. The two teams went at it. They went at each other. They were very fit. Work rate was unreal. Hammer and tongs all day, up and down. Not much in it. As I was showing you there earlier on, 15 minutes, Thomas has led 1-5-5. Half time, it was 1-7-9. On 40 minutes, it was 1-10-12. 50 minutes, it was 1-12-14. And it finished 1-15-17 on the second day. So 1 point. So that'll tell you about how close the two teams were. So
like we were looking at it earlier before we came up onto stage, that Fintan's block. What's his name? The young lad from Loughrea. You were saying he probably will feature with Galway.
Well, I just think, first of all, Loughrea, they were incredible. Tiernan Killeen played the middle of the field, scored 3 points in play. Martin McManus, the corner forward, he had a super season.
He set up the chance.
Yeah, he set up the chance. Like, they're the real positives for Loughrea and for Galway in the season just gone. You will hear those two names, I think, very close to a Galway first 15 from their point of view. But Thomas has just found it a little bit more down the stretch. David Burke had an incredible game, played most of the game at centre-back. He's just his guidance and his positioning around the field. Overall, Conor Cooney was excellent again. Did really, really good to set up the goal. But look, there's probably been two things that stood out for me for the game. One was Mark Caulfield. He scored 1-3. Like, the likelihood is, like, if Shane Cooney had been fit and James Regan had been fit, he wouldn't have been playing. He was playing for a junior A team. This is a message to every junior player out all over the country.
Second team player.
Every second team player over the country, right? That you have to believe this opportunity is going to come. And Mark Caulfield had man of the match, official man of the match. He had one of those days that happens regularly in Munster finals, All-Ireland finals, county finals. He had a day of days.
And I'm going to tell you something now. This happened in the county final in Cork this year between Inniscarra and Castlemarte. Drawn game the first day. The young lad playing wing back, I think Andrew McCarthy, I think is his name, if I'm not mistaken, got the man of the match. And young Dara Holland's son, who was a sub the first day, came on, started the second day and got man of the match in the replay. The two of them were playing junior A hurling a month before the county final.
There you go. So,
man of the match in both county finals.
It does happen, so you have to believe in everything. The second point I'm going to make is to go back to the refereeing in general, and I know, Dale, you're going to touch on some of the changes that are coming down the track, let's say, in terms of sanctions and all this stuff.
We'll be here all night if I go into...
We'll be here all night going into them. Like, I liked the way John McDonough refereed the game, right? I liked the way the Munster final was refereed this year. Right.
I hope John McDonough gets more games than John Keenan did afterwards.
John Keenan suffered because of that. And to me, we're fixing the stars and we're missing the moon here. Like I said, there's an overall view of refereeing required. What exactly is the best method of going forward? What do we want? Like, I definitely had loads of people screaming behind me looking for freeze, freeze, freeze. They wanted a free for everything. And then there's other people kind of wanting the game to go. Like, so we could do with a bit of maybe guidance and overall structure around the refereeing, because it's difficult. You don't want somebody who's ticking every box and whistle happy, but then the game becomes like American football. It stopped every feckin' 30 seconds. Yeah. This was a real man's game of hurling. And I mean that now in the sense that the two teams...
went at it honestly.
Honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a very good game. There was very little in it. And as I said, afterwards, like, as I said, you could pick incidents that should have been freeze and could have been freeze, but...
Was he consistent?
What's the way forward? I felt consistent? He was.
Well, if you were going home as a Loughrea man, would you have been bitter about the ref?
No.
No. So then
consistent.
That
he lifted. Consistency. Yeah. That's all fellas are looking for.
I don't think you would have been, and maybe ask somebody from Loughrea, but it is a big talking point into the future, though, as to the direction and what are we doing. Like, what's going on in the referee's room, right? Like, how can we get what's going on in the referee's room into, let's say, the coach's room? And you talked about players going down or diving or tipping the head. Like, we know we have a great game, right? And this is a huge factor in the game now. Like, I just think it needs more... I don't know. Did someone say before, was it you that mentioned about maybe professional referees? Is that...
Yeah. Well, I've suggested a panel of eight to take charge of our championship Liam McCarthy fixtures. You have to work your way up and down from that, a bit like the counties have. You know, Antrim coming back up after winning the John McDonough. I think you should be judged on your performance then, you know. And I would have no problem paying our referees. I think there's enough people being paid. You know, we mentioned backroom staffs earlier on for different clubs. I think I'd have no problem with it, and being accountable. And then we had real standards across the board. And I would have no problem then with it. I'm dying for these highlight shows, whatever way it's going to come about, TJ, and having a good, great ex-ref coming on and going through the incidents with us. I think it's great coverage on Sky on a Monday.
And to pinpoint them. But I'd like to see something done about it definitely into the future. The two things I'm going to finish on, and Thomas's, was, yes, it was a Kilkenny-style county final played in Galway, and in fairness to both teams, they matched up. In Thomas's case, to do five in a row, as I said, what an achievement. I know I'll be accused of having St. Thomas's glasses on, and I have. I won't make any bones about that. Small parish, just really pull things together over the last number of years. The effort in the community, in the backroom team, Kenneth taking over, Tommy Fitz came in there, the lads. You know, a hard job to go in, to be fair, when someone's won a three in a row, because literally you're up against it. But phenomenal achievement to concede no goal. I know I've kind of heard maybe one or two people kind of saying they've only won one All-Ireland club, but they have won one. And you're in an era now where Napiershick have won one, Ballygunner have won one. You said Thomas's have won one. Like, Ballyhale are obviously the outliers, but it's just so difficult to get over the line. But to do what they have done in Galway, to me, is just nothing short of incredible.
Yeah, fair play to everyone in the Toms there. Again, they'll have a wedding to try and half enjoy the players.
And they will. And in fairness, they will. They wouldn't want to
enjoy it too much. We'll be having to be in Croker 1 o'clock the following day. But
that's tough fun, isn't it?
They'll have a good Sunday, maybe tip it into Monday. Has to be done.
Yes.
Just to keep it moving, lads, time-wise, we're conscious we don't have a record breaker one again. We don't have our laptops in front of us either.
No, I'm
checking the phone there to have a look.
Oh, go on.
Rafe, give us a shout there at the clock there. But we don't have Larry coming in saying, "Moving on, will ye?" But Munlein, huge win. I suppose went in nearly as underdogs, TJ, and have won the Munster Intermediate Club the hard way, really, with the three rounds in Munster and tight enough battles in Limerick 2 with Bruff in the final, nothing in it, and Mark Dwyer with 15 points the weekend, and won with a bit in hand against a Roscrea team that everyone really was saying should really be kind of senior A in tip, and deservedly gone back up. And I know Eddie was given a hand there with the coaching as well, and Munlein potential to become a huge, huge club on the scene as well in Limerick.
Definitely have. They have the numbers, underage, doing an awful lot of right things, an awful lot of people doing good work. Owen Brislana's come in there, and like, they have that challenge of hurling and football as well, maybe, and there was a bit of a crossover there. They seem to have got it right this year. There was a good connect between the two. But and a team definitely making strides. I'd say they'd be looking maybe across the city at the Napiershick, kind of saying potentially that they would have, let's say, numbers wise to match. You know, they have the players, let's say they have Castle Troy School there, they have UL on their doorstep, the facilities. So, yeah, could be something coming down the track here, but definitely heading in the right direction. Probably would have been disappointed maybe to go back down to Premier Intermediate, and they're they're possibly in the week that's in it, they're possibly maybe a well handicapped Premier Intermediate team, Marco, you know yourself.
Yeah, well,
hand stroke's been pulled.
Yeah, well, able to come back up.
Well done, everyone in Castletroy. Great, congrats to you. And not alone will be coming back up, Senior A in Limerick.
Marco Dwyer, a serious striker of the ball, too. I think.
Oh, he is.
I think he's going to the Limerick setup or being called in.
Yeah, I'd mark as a minor panelist a couple of years. It's well, Pat Donnelly was involved. Yeah, yeah. He was a brilliant striker.
I played golf for him there a couple of times and just tell you one thing.
Good at that, too, I'd imagine. A bit like Mark off in the soccer as well, like
yeah,
the golf pool. Yeah, you'd hit it a good bit.
Don't have time for that anymore.
But you would. You'd hit it in a stay gone, I tell you.
Yeah, you know, if now you'd be having when getting to this age, look, you have
you to tightless man or
you put on these. Well, if things are going well, like, you know,
actually speaking of different sports, I see Brian Hayes is after committing to the Cork Hurlers. Is there
a lot of people out there, TJ, now won't be thanking you. I was going to get this seat at the end about Cork, like, and I was going to give him a good go on Belly Giblin, but go on, Mark. Brian Hayes was impressed with him.
He's impressed with him.
Maybe not. I didn't think. I thought Conor Forward was. And I only saw him now against Belly A and in the final, in the Cork final.
So
he's such a big man, you'd imagine him out under the ball, wing.
Yeah.
Big plus for Pat.
I'd say it's a big plus for Pat. He's a very talented player. He's Paddy Hayes, former Cork footballer, is his dad, and Jock Cunningham's sister is his mam. So he has it from both sides. I think she was an Olympic swimmer at one stage. So he is a really good talent. He's
red and the purple.
As you'd know, TJ, you know, getting it from the dam side and the soil side. So I'd say he will be a work in progress. To me, he could be a potential centre forward in 2 or 3 years' time. I think he's still
that's
a little
in
bit
my head like that. Kind
he's a big gangly lad at the moment, but he's a top scorer from play in the club championship in Cork. I think he has massive upside potential, and the fact that he's equally as talented at football. It's a big plus that he has decided to go with the Hurling panel, I would suspect. But a new management, I suppose, brings its own things as well. And Pat Ryan would have been involved with him winning a couple of the All-Ireland Under-20s as well. So there'd be a good relationship. Well, and he's a good lad. He's a good lad, to be fair. And to be fair to the Bears, they are bringing through an unbelievable batch of players. Eden Toomey, Ben O'Connor and Ben Cunningham. Keane Walsh, just to mention 4 or 5.
And the update on Ben O'Connor.
So the update on Ben O'Connor is the leaving cert is the most important thing. And I suppose maybe
to the parents.
Yeah, and I'd say probably Munster Rugby will win out at this stage, I would expect. He's had a phenomenal season. He is definitely... You asked the question earlier on about Fitzgerald, whether he'd play with Waterford. I have no doubt if Ben O'Connor was playing Hurling with Cork, I think he would definitely make it. He'd be certainly my number 5 next year anyway.
Not up for debate from what I've seen of him, to be honest with you.
Yeah, very good player.
Been that impressive.
Yeah.
Stick with Cork for a bit, Belly Giblin. Now, a nice advantage, Mark, to get to play in the same competition again with the restructure. Not taking any of Swanny and the lads now.
Well, it's great to be able to back it up a bit. Like, yeah, but Thomas has done 5 in a row. Like,
go off,
you know,
and say, we won it now.
Yeah.
We'll be back at the same level. And
yeah, that's right. Oh. Yeah, and, you know, that was a little bit of a restructuring that was done within the county. And I wouldn't be surprised if I see a little bit of restructuring coming down the road in another couple of years, that maybe the Senior A team or the Senior A grade. You know, it's still our 25th team that's competing in the intermediate All-Ireland Munster campaign in All-Ireland. So I don't think there's any other county are going down to the 25th team to play in championship at intermediate level.
And
so
this would be the argument why the Kilkenny clubs and the Kerry clubs in the football do so well, because there's so little in their actual club.
12 of the top grades. Yeah. So you're talking about your 13th team in the county playing in the second grades, whereas in Cork's situation is the 25th. But we're not bitter about that, Anthony. We don't mind. No. We'll drive on.
He improved a bit in Ennis now, I'll give you that, and finish it about.
Well, and the whole thing is, when you're trying to get a break in life or get a break in sport, you want that little bit to get you over the line. But when you get a fella sent off in the first 15 minutes of the game and you get beaten by a pint, it's a bit of a kick, like, you know. But hopefully the Bears can come back again next year. Obviously everybody will be pinning them to try and win the county next year, but if they could go back to back, I think they'll learn an awful lot from this year's campaign, even though they got the one match.
Hard to do back to back, but they look like a team to me that will win a few.
I think they're on the ascendancy. I think they've won one early in the, like, a lot of people would have said maybe next year or the year after for the Bears. The fact that they have won that county championship now, I think if they can progress the same as all the other good clubs are successful, the Ballygunners, the St. Thomas's, the Ballyhales, right? If you can put 2 or 3 or 4 county championships together, you're going to have a serious team. But sorry, back to the Ballygiblin story. look, the big news from it is the back-to-back Junior Munster Championships. Shane Beston getting Brilliant married story. The day before pops up and gets 3-3 the following day in the championship. Like, can we ride the Rovers? Give me the slitter, will you?
He's 32 now as well,
yeah,
Shane.
He is. He's no sprint chicken. And he was a fantastic footballer. I first saw him on the football field. That's where we came up against him in a club championship years ago. Phenomenal footballer, but he's had a lot of injuries in the last number of years, and he's squeezed into the team this year. But the success story is obviously the fact that he got married the day before.
A lovely picture of himself and his new bride on the field. Grant me marrying an old J woman,
and be given the break to say, look, listen, lad, you have to stay around for the Ireland final. We'll put off the honeymoon. Did you have to come back out of your honeymoon? Am I right in saying that?
It's been too many times on this show. Like, you know, she's been told not to be mentioning it
anymore.
Don't say
that anymore. Yeah. But I'd have to give a mention out to young Joseph O'Sullivan, who would have been involved with me in the development squads way back. He had 10 points or something. He's shooting the lights out. A fantastic striker of the ball. So. Well done to Barry Gibbert
and Markeen there as well. They'll probably take a bit of beat in a dish, but of course, it could be one or two.
Look, as you know, I said to you last year, the previous management were playing a wing forward. I said he's a defender, in my opinion. And if I had to pick a full back and go over it this year, in number three.
Moving swiftly along from the Cork team for next year. We might have one more show before Christmas.
We'll get Pat Ryan and Louis.
We'll do all things Cork and have a look at everything. We'll definitely do one early in the new year, and predicting the three in Munster. And you got there last year, Mark. I think
we did.
Good chance of getting out again.
We did.
The Cum Tennis this year, that'll be the big one, I think, and that who'll be in the
I
three.
I wonder, he's still over the Munster final last year. He's still over that.
Okay, see Tony nervous. Going well there now. And Shane O'Donnell is a nice little break. Got young Meehan was flying. It there for the banner. I see Mac Rogers flying.
So Limerick are through, Clare are through, Davy's gone to Waterford.
I actually watched the Freshers League final.
Story for a different day.
I watched the Freshers League final last night.
It's definitely a New Year's show.
I watched the Freshers League All Ireland final last night on at 8:30 from Portlaoise.
Was on television?
-2. It was on YouTube.
Live streamed.
YouTube, very good. Well.
Touch of GA TV.
Backbone, I will say, TJ, with Clare lads. An awful lot of Clare lads. Mac, the key positions, and they won it 10 points, I suppose, against DCU. So the UL are gone incredibly strong, aren't they, in the whole. Strong, yeah. I think they were beaten in the Division 2 Freshers final the night before by Carlow in an epic game. So they have a massive amount of talent. And we're lucky in Clare. I think there's a good few in there, you know. So Central Council have made a load of proposals. There's been a load of meetings, lads, if we start into it. I think there's no decision yet met on whether we're sticking with 17 and 20, but there's massive discipline clampdowns coming. I think 96 weeks was the old limit what you could get. It's out to 240 weeks. You might be rising out of it now if you get 240 weeks. It's nearly a mortgage, Macca. It's nearly one of your pension policies.
It's nearly 4 years, is it?
So, look, I think we all agree, rightly so. None of us have been always, TJ, you wouldn't have hardly ever got 240 weeks, but you've got a nice couple of weeks for saying stuff to refs and things
it's
like that.
It's a matter of interest. How many red cards have you got in your life?
Big Barry Cullinan, it'd have been off.
Club and County now, together now. Put them together.
I never got sent off playing for
a
Limerick.
A few of them, the red card wasn't it.
I never got sent off playing for Limerick. I got sent off.
You should have, looking at highlights against those in the league.
Jeremy. Jesus, Johnny O'Callaghan said you should have been sent off.
Yeah, he probably will.
He lost the two.
I think I got sent off once. And I was could you have got, or twice.
Could you have got the 240 weeks for hitting the streaker that time?
No. I don't think so. I didn't really hit him, though.
It could be a glance.
Teacher had sent on to me recently.
Were you sent off? Have you been sent off?
Now the county, no, but watching that highlight with that league game, myself and himself there.
Yeah.
How someone didn't walk.
That's anyway. Right, game has moved on.
Fair play.
Yeah, but Massa, I don't think any of us have a problem with it. We all know, and I think
I do think the refereeing thing just needs a bit of focus. I'm not saying that anybody in particular are wrong here, whether it's the coaches, whether it's the hand pass, whether it's the referees, but
might get one of the boys on again in the new year.
Oh, definitely.
But I'd nearly go as far as to say it's nearly more important to have one of the guys maybe at the top level to say what are they looking for? What's the future of the game that they see?
The other conversation is,
do you want everything whistled?
No, you just want a fair, honest referee all the time.
These guys don't
want the same referee, like you want the same standard across.
They say there's more common sense now in the rule book.
I know that. Listen, some of the assessors, I'm meeting
them, the likes of the Dickies, the Pets, the Johnnies. I'm meeting them going into places like the Gaelic Grounds, and they weren't assessing there. Maybe they were assessing the day before, and they're saying, "How did this fella get on? We had that match. How did he get on?" I think they want the best, like, but it's just.
Yeah, but
the day today, when you go Saturday and go Sunday, and the difference in the refereeing is, and I know, look at the difference probably in the wing forwards play from Saturday to Sunday as well, can be a question.
Go back to John Keenan last year in the Munster final. Yeah. Did he not get any more games because of like that situation? Is that a fact? I don't
know. Look, the GAA are going to say we had no influence on that. Unfortunately, you'll be judged by your actions. John Keenan didn't get a game afterwards. We all thought as Hullen people that he had a really, really good game. I don't think there was any complaints came from management or players that he had a good game. So something's wrong somewhere.
So I think we've got a sideline role for the All-Ireland, like, you know.
He could. One vision and a consistency and a consistent message across assessors, referees, coaches.
Yeah, but the assessors will say that, you know, we're assessing the game.
Probably easier for the assessors now because they're not looking for games.
Yeah, but they assessed his game and that he had left too much go. That's the reality. You know, from the he didn't go by the letter of the law as far as they were concerned. From our point of view, as people looking in from the outside, we thought he had a fantastic game.
But Dickie Murphy come over and said, "You're killing me, Dylan. Will you calm down?"
I know. But come here, lads.
It's famously Michael Quinn, that just a referee and Clare, a guest man from the Quinn's pub in the market. And as he refed a lot of our big games back in the '80s and into the early '90s. And Victor's brother, Sparrow's brother, the Victor, was a hard man, and we met Crosheen one day in a league match, and it was a massive boxing tournament on in the West County. You know, it was there from all over. I think national titles were on. Whatever year they moved it out of the stadium, I think they were doing renovations, and so they brought it to the West County, which was one of the biggest conference centres, and huge crowd there, and massive take up for the weekend on it. But we played Crosheen on a Saturday afternoon in the cup. And they'd have had a couple of hardy boys. Now the Carneys were real hardy boys, and Joe Carney was notorious. That was one of my earlier games, and I was staying well away from Joe Carney. But at one stage, he drew a wallop in one of our lads. Anyway, Joe did. Sure, that was par for the course at the time. But Victor was right on the scene, and a left upper cut that you would not see in the boxing in the West County. And Michael Quinn walked over waving the book, by the way, taking it out to take his name. And he said, "Victor, the boxing is on in the West County." But he didn't put him off. There was no yellow cards. He'd certainly have got a yellow.
Yeah.
We all remember the slap between Paddy O'Shea and Diddy Allen.
That's right. Yeah.
And what was the great referee? Ref was the great man from Bancha, John Maloney. Famous, going back to when I went to Hearty matches first, brought along even when I was in primary school in the late 70s. Bride of Brothers, and that John Maloney would be refereeing it, but he would never put off anyone.
I put the two of them together, shake hands,
make it up.
Get on with it. Yeah.
And the two boys, God be good to Paddy. I met them one day. I think we got a game of golf down the old head in Skibbereen, and the Nemo boys were there. It was somewhere like that, either outside Cork or somewhere, and the Nemo boys and some of the Kerry boys were there, and there were the two boys sitting down with two pints.
There'd be no problem with the two of them now.
No. And so, a good few other things, lads, on that thing, like I think. Under-17s can go back training, and the minor inter-county teams, as we know them now, they can go back training the 1st of January. Can't play a match to at least the 1st of February. See how that goes. We obviously know there's phones everywhere now. On-field academy work can't start till the 1st of March. I'd have had an awful handy job for 3 years, TJ, here in Limerick. Joe would have you inside. I remember one particular Friday, saying to Pat Donnelly, who was the minor manager at the time, I think it was 16, that I'd love to have gone to Clonmel to the course on the following day. But the academy, we used to start maybe at 6:30 with the minors in the morning, and
building
that finished around 3 o'clock.
For this type of stuff to go on. That's it. Like,
Do you want to ask him or will I? That was Big Joe. Yeah. I said, "Do you know what? We leave it. I go to Clonmel the following day." But look, it's going to be very hard to police any of that sort of stuff. And I thought the academy was enjoyable for the kids. They had their hour. It was well run in UL. Whoever dropped them off had a cup of tea upstairs.
Parents are getting together talking to each other.
Bringing trouble in yourself too, when you start bringing in rules, don't you?
Yeah, well, we saw what happened in COVID. There's a bit about that too. All the secretaries are sending in their reports at the moment. We're seeing John Costello's one in Dublin is always huge. He usually gets the most focus. Obviously, it's probably the biggest CEO job in the country. Spending as well, Mark. We've seen the spending figures coming out. God, we saw the Galway figures, and yet they showed a lovely profit on the year. We'll say, what's the word I'm looking for?
Surplus.
Surplus. Sorry. I should have gone straight to you with that sort of talk.
But we don't have a deficit.
We might have a big look. Through the roof, but that's just the way it's gone.
Yeah, well, I see. Look, in fairness, Limerick have a huge supporter in the wing, which is a big help, I suppose. Like, you know, And I think, was it over 2 million euros was to spend in Limerick this year? I could be wrong in that now, but I think the spend in Cork was 1.7 million.
You would spend in Galway as well, of course. Football
2
final,
million,
or semi final.
You know,
in fairness to Orbic supporter, he was there in all the bad times.
And he's a fantastic
And he did an awful lot for us. But
fantastic person.
Same in Clare, I'd say, with the footballer. I don't know what the figures officially were, but with the hurlers making the semi final and having Munster final appearance, and the footballers went a long way then. Under Cullum again, and the fees have to be very high.
But it is big business, like, isn't it? It'll just show you the amount of expenses being paid and the professional attitude that's out there, and the support, I'd say, from the top table and the boards, you know, for their managers and stuff. That when the managers come and say, look, I need this, that, and the other. You know,
the expectancy now as well in counties, like if you take in Cork or Limerick or wherever it is, that your team is fully fit, well prepared, not short of anything. Yeah. That's expected.
And supporters want to go and say these fellas are ready to take on these fellas.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Joe's telling us Limerick have gone so far ahead. So we, as Claremen, we saw them drawn twice last year. Okay, yeah. Eventually beat us an extra time. But it's nice to see the Clare boys being able to go toe to toe. Marco, have you a problem?
No, just before you go away from that, like, I just want to go back to the referees for 1 second, right? And a little bit of a divergence from what TJ is about the ref. We have to stamp out the abuse of referees. You know, the attacks that are on referees all over the country, whether it's hurling or football, underage or adult, like, it's just not acceptable for referees to be physically or verbally abused from the sideline anymore. And we didn't get a chance to talk about it in any pod earlier on this season. And we just want to get the message out there, really, that, look, you know, chairman of clubs, as far as I'm concerned, if they have mentors on the sideline that are not, you know, respecting the referee, I genuinely think the chairman has a duty of care to bring that manager in, or selectors, or whoever is representing the club in an official capacity, to say that is not acceptable what you're saying or doing to the referee, as far as I'm concerned. So for me, you know, me as an individual, I want to say, like, you know, that I support the referees 100%, and anything we can do into the future to make a referee's job safer, which you shouldn't have to say. Yeah. There should be no referee half afraid to go out in the field of what's going to be said or done to him.
Yeah, I still going to say we're going to have to start at underage with that and build it up along.
I go back to the education, one consistent message, this is what we're doing. And any time I've been to games where there's referees who are very kind of strong and consistent, and they know exactly what the free is for, and they just get the game in properly, I don't see any issues. 100% agree with you. You can't go near and be abusing, you definitely can't be physically abusing or anything.
I still have to hold up both hands and say I stuck my head into two referees just in 2022's dressing room after the match and apologised for. No, I didn't get near the sideline, because in Cusick Park now the manager's allowed on the sideline. We're back up near the subs.
Yeah.
But I'd say a couple of them could hear my voice shouting down about, can you not see it's a throw? This throw rule.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I did. I went in to two anyway. I won't mention any names, they know. And there'd be good old GM in and good club men, and just said, sorry about the couple of verbals. Yeah.
Well, when VAR, with the hindsight of referee and video and a relook are getting it wrong, maybe we can have a bit of sympathy for
you saw the Uruguayan players at the end of the game, Mark, with the penalty decision not going their way, the Uruguayans, and another fruity enough over there, like, so I mean, the ref got some abuse after the match, like, that's the World Cup,
you know
all millionaires playing, and
it could be better.
We've still to learn a bit from the rugby that way. That's the big thing.
Someone said to me, slagging recently, that if guys blame our soccer team, we'd be Uruguay.
Fair play.
I thought that was Pat O'Screen.
There could be a lot of them.
Good pals came to the pub and had a great evening. Pat O'Screen, shout out to the Ballygiblin boys as well. They were up with me rebuilding.
It's really part of the success now, is to kind of call to Murtys and
absolutely
part of your team band and getting the ball rolling.
Where are we going to be getting a percentage out of this?
Moving quickly along, Marco, will you have a problem next year if young Cunningham or young Hayes or one of them stick the ball in the roof of the net in the All-Ireland final at 9 seconds and they all go over to the corner flag and
get a fit of samba dancing the Connor flag like your county man, Mr. Keane.
And maybe Pat Ryan joins him and they're kind of
they're giving it all this now that we're on telly today. Like,
what are you doing now? Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah. And the manager was at it as well. Roy, no place for that.
Fair play to Keane, by he calls it straight.
Well, I'll tell you one thing with Keane.
You'll
say one thing for the NOS Cork people, you're loyal to him.
Oh, he's one of our own Keane.
If he farted crooked in the wrong place, you'd back him
no
up.
Like, problem.
Love and honour, Jesus. The Brazilian part of their culture, like the samba dance, and you know they couldn't in a massive victory in a World Cup knockout game. Yeah, anyway, lads, a lot of foregrass. Have you a few? Did you?
I have a couple.
Have you a couple?
Yeah.
Go on, bang away.
I get the ball rolling quickly. Oh, wait, I have two. I'm going to promote. I cut the lads for a few bob earlier on. Guys playing GA are doing a draw in conjunction with Cleaners Foundation. €20. Look, there you
another
go.
Another 20 taken off us.
Brand new. And Johnny Upton's in the draw as well for €20. And I hope one of you win it, guys. For €20, you could be.
I want the red one, Johnny.
2023. Ford Focus ST line.
I love it.
How much money?
Guys Bland, €20 worth €30,000, right?
I take the €30,000.
Guys Bland, GA, log on to our page there and support us. We need all the help we can get. And you know what? If you don't like Guys Bland, you can log on to Cleaners page and give you €20. We're sharing the funds anyway. We're helping the charity, so either which way. So that's one. And second thing is, just want to pay my respects, poor old Jack Lynch. Died, I think, yesterday's funeral's on tomorrow night. He's a publican in Knockaney, Louise's country, kind of one of the earlier public houses that I would have gone to back in the day. Real old character, great GAA man, big Limerick man, just a great family. Just send my respects to them. Just one quick thing, it was one of those old pubs where the toilets were outside the door, and then
I was in it.
Jack,
I was in it. Anywhere between here and the Galties.
You were in it.
I was in it.
There's one
Gilligan famous, brought me there.
One of the famous stories about him was that I think somebody new moved into the parish and the toilet was outside, and when he came back in, he just kind of said to Jack very nicely, kind of said, "Do you know, Jack?" He goes, "There is no lock on the gents' door, on the toilet door." To which Jack said, he goes, "I'm here 40 years." He goes, "And there hasn't been a shite stolen." Yeah.
I was in it. So it's Jack that died himself.
Jack Ed. Great character. So
they had him teed up.
To the Lynch,
who was with Gilly? Was it Pat Ryan from Knockaney, was it? One of his buddies from college. Pat. He was down the bank in Kerry.
That's right, Pat Ryan.
Yeah.
Pat was been involved good for teams.
Correct.
Mogi teams.
Maybe involved a bit with Kerry GA down the years. And
great buddy.
Of course, they'd this is my first time meeting Jack, and they'd Jack teed up to say, if I said, "Where's the toilet, Jack?" Yeah. And Jack said, "Anywhere between here and the Galties." So, yeah, got to be good team. Right. I didn't know that. Yeah, are you all right?
I'm good, yeah.
Yeah. Marco, have you anything that you want to give
just us? I suppose the big thing really is that the Come On Racing Club are
We're
having a first annual review this evening, and
we have some work done.
We
have some positive stuff
we
to come.
Have to drink water.
We don't know that now, but we will be handing out checks there this evening to the Cleaners Foundation
and the
Hurling for Cancer, the Irish Society. Fast. So, you know, that's what we had promised people that we would give.
Share the winnings?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. So
we'll stand by it.
Look, we've had a good season and it was a bit of a review this evening. So, absolutely. And looking forward to 2023.
Bit of fresh blood coming into the racing club.
All to be revealed in due course.
Yeah, but
Mr. Chairman,
I'd be the last to know. I'll have the viewers. The two agents here will tell me what's coming in. And we were talking to Jim, and we were talking to Patrick, and no deal. You have a problem with that? No, lads. No, work away. I have a couple, lads, before we go. Again, huge thanks to the Fitzgeralds here. Just the way we're looked after here, if we ever come. We have to come here more often, I think.
The Fitzgerald family are always very good to everybody. If you want to meet the real Davy Fitz, come to the Woodlands.
Yeah, Davy, yeah. Well, to fairness to the other Davy, he'll be looking at things. And now we see Austin Gleeson saying in the paper there last week, they're loving it. There's music in the dressing room, and they're doing a bit of Zamba dancing before they go out, Marco. So all change there. Lads, huge shout out to the Kilnina lads who were in Murty's last Saturday evening. Alamac, one and only, organised them. They're on a 25-year reunion. The Kilnina is right on the Galway border, TJ. First club you'll meet coming in. Same parish as Fecal, but they're very much Kilnina. They play together underage. What an evening. Shout out to Stevie Davern, who had his 40th last weekend. Quick one. And they had a great evening in Ennis. Unbelievable. I can imagine what went on there. I just said I had to give him a shout out. On a side note, Johnny Callan's sister died over the weekend. And Anne and Shannon, just sympathies to the family.
Cal has lost a couple of sisters now, and I knew Anne well. She lived in the village, and her son John and the daughters and lovely people. Couple of small little ones then. Bandon just got in. Boy, last look at Twitter to see how much more abuse I was getting in my tweet about clashing with the World Cup. Bandon got me, Mark. They're having a long puck fada on Friday the 30th for Bandon GAA Camogie and ladies. So you can check that out on Bandon GAA. Shout out to Clarecastle, who are having our road hurling on Stephen's Day as well. I'd say there'll be a good bit of crack and a couple of hot toddies. I may be in Curraclare at the coursing though, I'll have to admit, because I'll have to get back to the pub as fast as I can. I think that's most things covered. I don't think I missed too much that I had on my notes. So thanks a million, boys.
And we're off to have a Christmas drink.
Thanks to Rafe and Johnny and everyone there. We might just come here once a fortnight anymore. Maybe Monday evening. Thanks to Larry, as always, back at base. We'll get the show up, no doubt, as early as we can. And
wish everybody.
We think we were going to. Yeah, we may have a show. I think.
All right.
After these semi-finals, we might have a quick hour, maybe on the Monday. And a quick review of both semi-finals and the junior
Christmas off Marco, and
Marco has to give us his nap then
usual Christmas nap
for Limerick and coming, for Leopardstown and Kempton and etc. Donegal, is it?
Have we won for Sunday? Have we won for Sunday? The at the Cosmos house. What's that one now again? We'd have to.
Do you need the glasses?
I wished I have them here. Bear with me. We have one in the locker for Sunday.
He always has one for you, lads. For the,
this is for the Christmas expenses. The Blizzard of Oz.
Blizzard of Oz on Sunday. Beautiful. Where is that, Mark?
Punchestown.
So that guarantees that the Blizzard of Oz now will be about 4-7, yeah. Unless you have someone that will lay you at the moment. So thanks a million, lads. Thanks to Rafe and all the lads in the background. And sound and enjoy the next couple of weeks and enjoy the World Cup. Don't be afraid to dance in the front room. If you like a goal, go for it all the way.
A grain of rice. A grain of rice. It's going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on,
Mayo. You've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
We're missing what the show. Then we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.